We're back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Joe Powers. The Canadian band The Stanfields don't fit into any one musical mold. They're hard-driving rock and roll, they're a bit rootsy, and they also draw on the Scots and Irish fiddle traditions of their Nova Scotian home.
What you can say is no matter what genre they are, they deliver a terrific show. They're in town this week to perform at Irish Fest for the first time, and three-fifths of them joined us in the studio today to give us an acoustic version of a few of their songs. Here they are with a tune called The Boston States.
Josephine, you could see her boy now. You'd be so proud, you'd be happy. I did my best to raise him on my own in your memory. He asks about you from time to time. I never knew what to say. So on this lonesome night, I told him that you died. He wrote down in the Boston States. Oh, died a hero down in the Boston States.
The Stanfields and Lake Effect's Performance Studio. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It is such a pleasure to have you here.
Pleased to be here.
Welcome to Milwaukee. Welcome back, I should say. But Callan, it's your first time here, right?
It's my first time. It is indeed.
So how long have you been with the band? You're the new guy.
I'm the new guy. Still the new guy, even after 3 years. Yep. Yeah. So myself and the bass player, Dylan Tate, we joined the guys about just over 3 years at this point. Yeah. And it's been a heck of a time. What can I say?
We were talking before we turned on the microphones. It's been a while since you've been back down this way. When were you at Summerfest?
We couldn't figure out the date exactly, yeah. But it was when Chicago beat Boston for the Stanley Cup.
Okay. So, whenever that was.
Yeah, whenever that was. 2013.
Hockey fans.
I believe
somebody,
it was 2013.
Yeah, it sounds right. So it's 5 years.
Yeah,
it's
been 5 years ago.
Years,
yeah.
I've always personally found, and I don't just mean to pander here at the risk of pandering, but I always found Milwaukee to be among the most friendly cities we've ever been in, which is really funny because, you know, we walk down the street to get a coffee in the morning and somebody's walking by, "Hello, sir, how are you today?" And, you know, that's something that we're not really used to outside of our own little microcosm of the planet in Nova Scotia. So, you know, where people kind of do the one finger wave off the steering wheel when you drive by in the country and things like this. But Milwaukee actually had a real homey vibe in that respect, you know, so it's really comfortable to be here.
It's funny, you won't find that wave driving around here, though. It'll,
no.
It'll be a different finger.
No. Yeah.
We do have those as well.
Yes, we do.
We have those.
Yeah.
A wave for people.
One of the things I love about your music is the mix of the rock and roll and the roots and the Celtic and all of those things getting kind of together. Your voice, John, is amazing. It's just this big, growly.
I think I just smoked too many cigarettes in my life, to be quite honest with you. Don't smoke. You know, so that's for me. And I think we literally have the loudest drummer on the planet. So I had to learn to keep up with him and through really small, crappy PAs, you know, through our 10 years of existence and 15 years of playing together with our drummer, Murph.
Talk a little bit about how, well, first of all, you've been together, like you said, 15 years in some, like, friend form.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
When did you decide, or why did you decide to say, hey, let's take this on the road, let's do something with this?
Our two original members, one of them, Jason Wright, who's my first cousin, actually. He was the original bouzouki player in the band.
So you had to learn.
So his I had to learn. So I've only been playing for a couple of years now. But his father gave him a bouzouki. So it was just always floating around. We played many pub gigs together with the most ridiculous names you could think of, and one of the ridiculous names actually stuck. It's really interesting. One time we all got together in an apartment that Murph and I lived in, and J-Mac came over, and a whole crew of people came over. I think Scott Long, he piped in Seven Nations for the longest time and played with Ashley McIsaac. He was even there, I think, for some reason. We were just regular old Tuesday. Everybody's having a few drinks, and I don't know. We just had a jam, and some chairs got thrown around, and there was broken glass everywhere, and that's where the band was born. from this particular night, is from that point, you know. And we just thought, well, this is fun. Let's play out with this, and so we did, and opportunities kept coming and kept coming and kept coming, and we just grew with it. You know, we got exposed to a lot of things that we probably wouldn't have otherwise, you know, in terms of music, you know, when all of a sudden we're being invited to play Celtic Colors and, you know, things like this. And we're just like, wow, like we don't even know a tune to put together between us. Like we just make up our own stuff constantly, you know, and you know, as far as the tradition goes, I think it adheres to the tradition in some weird way because you're just telling your own story. And that's what those, you know, those old tunes are supposed to represent, and, you know, railing against the man and all this sort of stuff. But on the other hand, like, you know, none of us are really recital players or anything like that. And
well, what about you, Callan? I mean, you're playing probably the most traditional, well, the bouzouki too, but...
Yeah, for sure. Well, what's interesting about that is, like, I grew up playing traditional music, but I was never really into it as much as I probably should have been. And I kind of found my stride once I started playing music, once I got into university with just, like, guitar players. And I kind of figured out my style through playing with bands. And so I'm
one
of those...
Was it always fiddle?
And it's always fiddle, yeah. Yep. So I'm one of those heathens back in Nova Scotia where, you know, I live in a city with hundreds of fiddlers in a province with, you know, hundreds and hundreds of fiddlers. And I don't really know a lot of them because I don't really play around with much of them, right? So I play in a lot of rock bands, so that's kind of what I'm most comfortable with. I don't do fiddle tunes, anything like that. So, you know, at this Milwaukee Irish Fest, if I were here to sit down and play in front of a bunch of fiddlers, I would just, you know, embarrass myself. Really. I don't even think I would even try. But that said, you know, this is kind of, you know, I grew up listening to guitar players like Jack White and John Frusciante and all those guys. Steve and Ray. Stevie Ray Vaughan, those kind of guys were all my idols growing up. And I was learning to play the fiddle based on guitar players for the most part.
I love the idea of playing the fiddle like Stevie Ray Vaughan played the guitar.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, pretty much
how
all you have to
that?
Do is just play your note with the middle finger. Right? Like that's...
with that
attitude. I remember hearing an interview of John Frusciante. And he's talking about Jimi Hendrix and how his most impressive quality is that he knew how to play like this with his middle finger way, way up, and how one note with big squeals meant a lot more than 100 perfect notes to him. And so that kind of resonated with me a little bit more. And so that's why I get to play a lot of, you know, FU solos in this band because that's what these guys do.
That
right?
fits. That yep. fits yeah, yeah. with your whole
Absolutely.
Ethos.
Yes.
Yeah. yeah.
Unless, we, you know, in this kind of acoustic environment, of course, we have to tame it down a little bit.
Just it is public radio.
And it is public yeah. radio, yes, yeah. of course.
yes. So there's no swearing on public radio.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah, no.
But anyways, if you do see us in at the Irish Festival, it'll be a lot more
this is, as I was saying to Shreem yesterday when they were in here, this is the sit-down version of what you do. What you're going to see on stage is the stand-up version.
Oh, yes.
And the jumping around and screaming,
pushing
off the cliff version. Exactly. Well, speaking of that, let's hear another song. This is off the newest album, right?
Yes.
So tell me about it.
The song's called Lantern in the Window, and it has a sort of, it's the message is around keeping your doors and your hearts and your minds open for people who need help, who need a signal boost, who need shelter from, you know, persecution or from any sort of strife like that. You know, I think that's a message that needs to be repeated again and again and again these days. So this was our contribution to that in that sense. And it just has a nice lilt to it that makes it sound like it's 100 years old.
The devil is dancing in the gloam, with twilight eyes and cloven chrome. The master of the masquerade, leave a lantern in the window, leave a lantern in the window. He preys on the weak
He feeds on the lame and snarls at those who utter his name as an omen of dark days to come. Leave a lantern in the window. Leave a lantern in the window. For those that voice who linger in their sorrow. For those without a choice, leave a lantern in the window. Leave a lantern in the window. The devil is dancing in the wake of a broken land he needs to take by force of will and grand acclaim. Leave a lantern in the window. Leave a lantern in the window. His silken tongue is savage and bold, slithering sweet and a sight to behold. When you retire to your bed tonight, leave a lantern in the window. Leave a lantern in the window. For those out in the cold who linger in the shadows. For those outside the fold, leave a lantern in the window. Leave a lantern in the window. Lest you awake to a world that is gone. A piece at a time in the hours before dawn. Embers and ashes where monolith stood. The devil presiding over all that is good. Laughing in your face and basking in his bankroll. For those who fall off the pace, leave a lantern in the window. Leave a lantern in the window. Embrace yourself for the end times. Keep your heart aglow.
That was wonderful. Lantern in the window. We have 3/5 of the Stanfields here in Lake Effects Performance Studio. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you.
That was great. So tell me about your songwriting process. Where does it start? And who do you all write, or is it John, you, or how does that work?
Mainly John. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. It usually comes from him, and it'll originate as either most of a song or a complete song, and we'll maybe pick it apart a bit and changed a little pieces here and there, but yeah.
I'm usually driving and make it up in my head when I'm driving or occupied washing the dishes or something like that. There's never a moment like, oh, I'm going to sit in a room and pour my emotions out on paper. You know, like that sucks. it's always been important for me to do that and you know, just write about, they say write what you know, but I don't quite believe that. You know, sometimes I like to make stuff up, you know, as much as I can. You know, we didn't live 150 years ago. You know, I don't live on I'm not getting sprayed by water cannons at a protest, you know. We live in relatively quiet Nova Scotia where, you know, cosmic forces don't quite sweep away us as it would, you know, anywhere else in the world. So it's in some ways it's a sheltered perspective, but in other ways it's a unique perspective, I think, you know, from where we're coming from. You know, the Great Recession didn't really hit us because we didn't have anything to lose to begin with, you know. It's that sort of thing where scale's kind of different. So, you know, all the songs are written somewhere in that framework, you know. But sometimes it's about celebrating the times that you have together, you know, with the people that you love, and recognizing that. And, you know, you can smile even while the world burns, you know, you still can laugh. And I think it's important. So this is again, our group think around the music. And I like to think, you know, these guys, you know, when we take a song into the rehearsal space, that, you know, I'm very open to making sure that, you know, that everybody's voice is in there. So it's ours and not just something that I'm forcing them to do, you know. Otherwise, yeah, it's useless, because the Stanfields is a group of people who are presenting something as United Front, and it has to remain that way or we're nothing.
When you're doing your dishes or driving down or whatever you're thinking, are you thinking words first or music? Do tunes come first? Or
do you ever listen to Michael McDonald? You know, Michael McDonald's like, you don't know what he's saying. That's me doing the dishes, you know, totally. I'm just like, but then somewhere a word will come out and then it just kind of blooms from there.
So how many phonefuls in the time you guys have been doing this have you like rejected and said, no, don't go there?
Not many. He's usually really good. I can only recall maybe a couple songs over the last 10 years that we've tried out, and we'll try it different ways. Usually it'll turn into like a fast song because we're like, hey, let's try this nice slow tune, and it just goes.
Right,
all of a sudden we're doubling
the
speed.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Like, you know, there's a couple that got tossed out, or they're still around maybe, like even pieces of them we'll use eventually. Yep. But
we've had a couple pieces of songs on Limboland, this our newest record, that were laying around, but we weren't ready to play them. You know, there's a lot of stuff that we're doing that we weren't ready to play because we have Callan and we have Dylan in the band now. And, you know, we evolved. And we've evolved together in these last 3 years in ways that I would have never imagined when I think back to the time we were throwing chairs at each other in that crappy apartment, you know. So I think nothing really gets turfed. It just goes in the bank, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the light bulb moment will happen.
Yeah. And so, Callan, since you are technically the new guy still, what was it like coming into rehearsal the first time with these three?
Oh, I remember it like it was yesterday. It was really exciting for me because, I'm much younger than these guys. Well, not much younger, but I mean, they could be my dad or my grandfather or something.
He is.
The first time I ever heard these guys, I was just about to go into university. And the first day that I went into university, I met one of my best friends, and he started talking about the Stanfields, how much he loved these guys. Now he's hanging out with them at Music Week, and he took me down to a show that they were playing down on the Halifax waterfront. And, it just blew me away. It was the first time that I'm really getting to see these kinds of shows. I'm coming of age. I'm able to go to these kinds of shows. And as I was starting my band, the Regal Beagle Band, we were
Which is
just,
a great name, by the way.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. we were just kind of like, you know, we do washout endings the same way that the Stanfields would, or we would kind of try to find melodies the same. You know, there was always that kind of admiration for that particular band. And so over time, you know, we end up getting to play shows together and all this kind of stuff. So by the time that these guys asked me into the band, I knew every single song. And it really wasn't much to actually learn them because I already knew them really well. So, you know, there was a lot of things that kind of led up to that demonstrated a sense of companionship between myself and Dylan, the other guy. We played in a band called The Fourth Well, and John and J-Mac here both kind of had a hand in helping us develop our sound and our band. Didn't work out for us, and so we ended up quitting, and around the same time, the two guys in the stands kind of took a step back. So Dylan and I kind of fit the shoe, as it were. And it just worked out. It was a really interesting thing. And so they were just finished a new record that we had never heard before, and you know, we had to go on tour with them. So
nobody
had heard it before.
No, it was not.
I don't even think we had it on disc yet. And basically, we just sat down. We just had to, learn all of these new tunes. But as we were going on tour with them, a lot of people thought that Dylan and I wrote this naturally or were a part of the writing process. But we weren't. And what was really interesting about it is that we learned how to become a band on the road, learning this stuff. So we were in a unique position where you didn't, have to join the band, start writing tunes immediately, and, you know, trying to find chemistry along the way. We were able to build that chemistry while we were on the road and, you know, build that kind of camaraderie and companionship that is necessary to build that, you know, the band of brothers, as it were.
Well, and you two must have known and suspected that there would be chemistry. You wouldn't have invited them in the first place.
Well, right.
Yeah.
We both got a good look under the hood, so to speak, with these guys, with the different projects. I'd actually produced an EP with the Fourth Well. You know, it's a very homogenous sort of, you know, intertwined sort of scene. Just to add to Callan's point, we also, Jason, myself, and Murph, had to really consciously let go of the things that we thought we knew as well. It was very important for us to basically, it was anarchy, you know? It's just like, let's burn it all down and start again, you know? So, like, some of these things that, you know, again, like, I wouldn't have imagined that we'd be doing now, like, where I'd be just kind of like, psst, you know, 10 years ago, 7 years ago, but all for the better and all for my own personal development, you know, as a musician and as a person, you know, for that matter, just about having an open mind and not being too stuck on trying to be a Celtic band or trying to be a rock band or trying to be a folk band or whatever the hell it is, you know, like we're probably a marketer's nightmare is the honest to God truth. You know, but there are people who appreciate what we do, and that's good enough for all of us, I think. For us, there's no big letdowns because we have measured expectations and everything's a blast. You know, how can you go wrong? There are hard times and there's struggle and, you know, we put a lot of work into it. But if I told 15-year-old me that I'd be sitting here speaking to you in Milwaukee playing, you know, 4 nights at the biggest Irish festival in the world, my head would probably fall off my shoulders. You know, for one. So, I mean, it's all about perspective and the long view. And, you know, we're here for a long time.
Yeah.
So, you
know. And I am so glad that you are here right now.
Oh, my.
It has been such a pleasure having you here in the studio, hearing some tunes. I know you're going to take us out with something, but before you do, I just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
And really looking forward to hearing you this weekend. I plan to be there at least a couple of times.
Great.
Hey-o.
So what are you going to take us out with?
We're going to play a song off our acoustic record for King Country. The song's called Bloody Dotted Line.
I used to dream in color and I wished away the days, waiting on this last chance that I would get to play. A gilded harp, a silver horn with a bunny tune to sing, place inside a golden hall to prance around the king. When I was young, I wished to be up to my neck in fantasy. Why did I sign on that bloody dotted line and let the devil's hold go over me? Is it a crime to live when you cannot afford the meat? Is it a crime to walk the earth like ravenous machines? Is there a way to bridge a gap across a great divide? Is it a secret thrill to know the gods are on your side? When I was young, I wished to be a landed man with a back 40. Why did I sign on that bloody dotted line and let the devil's hold it over me?
The Stanfields take us out today with the Bloody Dotted Line. They'll play Irish Fest tonight and over the weekend. You can find out more about them and see their performance schedule at wuwm.com.